Okay, good evening, everybody. Gerner of Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. We were on hiatus last week, so I hope everyone enjoyed a meaningful and uplifting 2 weeks since our shiur last met. Baruch Hashem, it's nice to be back. Welcome back, and I see my mother-in-law is joining us. Hi, Ima. Good evening. She's having everyone for Shabbos, so while you're doing all the cooking, Ima, you're combining with some Torah. Thank you so much. Okay, so let me give you the shiur dedications this evening in the order that I received them. Actually, every sponsor tonight has sponsored in the past before as well. So tizku l'mitzos u'lamaisim tovim. Without your commitment and dedication to our shiur, we would not have this shiur. So Hashem should really repay your kindness with shafa bracha and rov tova and nachas. Aviva Hach is sponsoring Lilui Nishmas Chana Bas Mordechai Alaha Hashalom. Her paternal grandmother, whose dedication to Chinuch HaBanos served girls and women in Europe and the U.S., Rabbitin Chana Jacobovitz, Alal Shah, may the Neshama Merez Chus Aliyah. She was an educator for Chinuch HaBanos. So Neshama should have Nachas from the Shir that is sponsored, the Yulei Nishmasa, which is a Shir where we are coming together to learn Torah. Devar May Bloom also has been a previous sponsor, is sponsoring a memory of her sister, Leah Bas HaChover Shalom, Alaha HaShalom. Devorah wrote that she did not marry, but she was very close to her nieces and nephews. She showered them with love and attention. She was very devoted to her parents. And on a personal note, Devorah Maybloom wrote, and she, her sister, always made me feel very special. May her neshama have an aliyah and zechira latova from the spiritual peros of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. And finally, Henny Wolf reached out to me. It is also a previous sponsor. It is Henny's aunt's Yurtzeit, Yudalad Shvat, which is this coming Yom Rishon, Sarah Bas Eliyahu Moshe, Allah HaShalom. She left Europe in 1933 with her husband. Fascinating. She settled in Palestine in 1933 in the city of Renana. She was a true pioneer. She was a very quiet and pious woman, Shomeres Torah Umitzos. May all neshamos have zechiros and aliyos letova and the zechus of these Divrei Torah, Chana Bas Mordechai, Leah Bas HaChover Shalom, and Sarah Bas Eliyahu Moshe, Aleihen Hashem. All three righteous Jewish women, Aleihen Hashem. So what I want to hope to, everything's really needed, but I hope that we're going to finish up the Mishnah tonight that we have been studying the past few weeks. So we are in Perek Dalet, no, Perekei. Parakei, just joking. Yeah, we're in Parakei. And the Mishnah tells us towards the end of Parakei, Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Last time, I think, we didn't meet last week. So 2 weeks ago, going back 2 weeks, we had an, I think, incredible class on understanding the difference, which of things does not belong. If you missed it, you should listen on Y Torah. It was very cool. Hevi Azkin Amer, Vakal Kanesher, Verat Kitzvi, Vigibra Kari. And Esti Klein, if you recall, reached out to me and she said, what's going on here? The Namer, the Nesher, and the Ari are all not kosher animals. The Tzvi is a kosher animal. Why couldn't Yehuda ben Tema think of a different animal that's kosher that runs fast to include? Why is that the outlier? So last time we spoke about the fact that not only is the animal different, but the term to describe the animal is different. The other three deal with midos, but when it comes to the Tzvi, Ratz is not a Mida, it's a physical action. So if you missed the shiur, go listen. It's very cool. Okay, so I just want to say that Chana Wasserman reached out to me. Are you here, Chana Wasserman? Yeah. Chana Wasserman reached out to me after last time shiur, and she pointed out that if you listen to the conclusion of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, hey, ve'az kenamer, ve'kal kenasher, ve'ratz kitzvi, ve'gibar ka'ari, which we expanded upon last time in depth. And Chana Wasserman pointed out, how does the Mishnah end? La asot ritzon avicha shabashamayim. It doesn't say le kavein le ritzon avicha shabashamayim. It doesn't say le kabel ritzon avicha shabashamayim. It doesn't say lachshov ritzon avicha shabashamayim. It's rather a term that denotes action. La asot is an action. So you have to take these three midos, but primarily you have to be kosher like the tzvi. You have to run la asot. So it's not enough to just learn. It's not enough to be intellectually stimulated. It's not enough to change your midos inside, which would be Az, Kal, and Gibor, Ratz, Kitzvi, be kosher like the Tzvi. You also have to be on the run to do the will of your Father in heaven. What Chana Wasserman pointed out, I copied and pasted into my notes. She wrote in an email, I just wanted to, so you should all know, many of you email me after Shir, public service announcement. I don't always have time to give in-depth responses. I read everything. And even if my responses are very brief, I appreciate all the ha'aros. And you see, when they're relevant, I share them. So you should never, please don't be insulted, chas v'shalom, if it's brief, it's not personal. I just mamish, baruch Hashem, k'nai nahara. There's a lot going on. I just don't always have time. But I do pay attention to everything you write. Chana Wasserman wrote, I just wanted to point out that the pasuk, not the pasuk, you wrote pasuk. Okay, the next words in the Mishnah, we should be rats, la'asot, to do, which is an action, not a midah. Furthermore, I noticed, which Chana Wasserman also said, she said, but I didn't chap in her from her email, ritzon, rats. La'aso ritzon. If you want to do ratzon Hashem, if you want to do the will of Hashem, embedded in the word ratzon is the word ratz. In order to do ratzon Hashem, you have to be ratz. So you see that the tzvi here is the kosher animal, which denotes action, because like we know, lilmod ulalamid lishmar vela asos ulakayim is called veitamitor sachabahava. We daven every day. Yes, you have to learn. Yes, you have to change yourself internally. But what you have to do is put all of that learning, all that internal change into action. And that's represented in the tzvi, the kosher tzvi who is rat. And therefore, Yudah Ben Tema ends by saying, la asot. You have to do ritzon rat. To do the ratzon of your Father in heaven. Very nice. Chana Wasserman concluded her email by saying it fits like a glove as per the ideas that you taught in Shir. So thank you very much. So what I would like to speak about today is this balance. This is the third class or the fourth class where we are discussing this Mishnah. Beli Neder, I think. Everything's Beli Neder usually. But I think it's going to be the last Shir that we're describing this. But we didn't get to what I really want to talk about, which is this idea of having a balance of midos. Remember, we spoke from Victor Miller Zatzal, who points out that Yaakov doesn't say you should be a little sheep. You should be a ze'ev. You should be an aryeh. You should be a serpent, a don. He doesn't say you should be a sheep. You should be a goat. You should be, I don't know, a cow eating hay. You should be a strong animal. So we learn from Rav Victor Miller that a person needs certain strengths in Avodas Hashem. So what the key to serving Hashem is, there's many keys to serving Hashem. One of them is knowing when to balance being strong, to balance it out with being soft. Now the mark of the Gedolim is to know. When we see vignettes, we see in their lives, by examples, stories, ma'asim, that they know when to be firm when necessary, like a lion, Gibor Ka'ari, but on the other hand, to be soft when necessary. And it's a challenge in our personal lives to know when to balance these things, because we do need to be firm many times in our Avodas Hashem, in our Chinuch Habanim, in standing up for Torah and Mitzvos, in our Midos, in our battle with our Yetzirah. There are many times you need to be very, very firm. On the other hand, you can't always be firm. There are times when you need to be soft-hearted as well. So I'm going to quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein biography. Oh, Devar Meblum, you're here. Okay, good. You can listen to the dedication in the beginning of this year. You can go back and please listen to the recording. We thank you very much, and I'm glad you joined us. So I want to quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was known for, he doesn't need me to say anything about him at all. I shouldn't even say that sentence. But towards the end of his life, famous Maisa, someone asked Rav Moshe about his calmness. He never got angry. He said, you think this is easy for me? I worked on this my whole life. So we're talking about a Gaon, a Gadol, who holds up the whole world with his Torah and Piskei Halacha, who was such a calm person. Famous story when the ink spilled on the Gemara and he didn't flinch. On the other hand, a person needs to know, an Eved Hashem needs to know, when you have to be Az Kanamer, and you have to be Gibar Ka'ari. Rav Moshe's confidence that heaven guide, I'm quoting from the Rav Moshe Feinstein biography. I know the whole week I've been quoting the Rav David Feinstein biography. If you haven't read the Rav Moshe one, which obviously precedes the Rav David one, I highly recommend it as well, the art school one. They're both incredible because we're talking about two Gedolei Olam. Rav Moshe's confidence that heaven guided his decisions along the path of truth was visibly apparent. So he had a lot of, he felt there was tremendous Yalta Deshmaya. Heaven was guiding his decisions along the path of truth. Once he ruled that an aguna, a chained woman, was permitted to remarry. After she did so, a story began to circulate that her husband was still alive, which would have meant that her second marriage was a tragic mistake. So we're not talking about a chained woman. Like, unfortunately, the aguna situation, which has come to mean today, we are talking about a case where a husband disappears, or a husband goes missing. There were such cases, Rahman al San, many, after the Yom Kippur War, 9/11. After she remarried, the story began to circulate that her husband was still alive, which would have meant her second marriage was a tragic mistake. The woman's family was horrified, and those who were closest to Rav Moshe were dismayed that he would be humiliated by an error with such tragic consequences. The only one not daunted by the news was Rav Moshe himself. As his grandson, Rav Mordechai Tendler, relates, Rav Moshe remained confident that he had ruled according to halacha and that Hashem would not permit such a calamity to occur as a result of his psak. The rumor had to be false. In due time, Rav Moshe was proven right. The first husband was not alive. Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz was present when a related incident was brought to Rav Moshe. A Holocaust survivor claimed she was permitted to remarry based on the basis of evidence that her husband had perished, Rachman and son, in the concentration camps. After more than 20 years, when she had grown children of marriageable age, her first husband was found to be alive in Eretz Yisrael. The distraught woman had come with her rabbi from South America to seek Rav Moshe's guidance. Rav Moshe asked the woman to tell her story. She told she brought her case to a well-known rav in one of the displaced person camps after the war. Based on available testimony and evidence, the rav ruled it was correct to assume the husband was dead, and he gave her a heter aguna, a document containing this decision. She was free to remarry. On that basis of that ruling, she remarried. The rav passed away not long after the war, and due to the chaotic post-war conditions, she lost the document. This is what she said. Now she and her family were suffering indescribably from a mistake that was not theirs! Exclamation mark. Rav Moshe asked her to repeat the whole story, and she did. He asked her a third time to repeat the whole story, and she did. The atmosphere in the room was tense. Why was Rav Moshe tormenting this poor woman? What could be added by another repetition of her sorrowful tale? Rav Moshe's brow was furrowed in intense concentration, while everyone in the room was silent. Then abruptly he rose, he leaned across the table, and he said to the woman, "It cannot be! Exclamation mark. I know the Rav of whom you speak. He was a Gaon and Tzaddik. I do not even approach his ankles in Torah. I permitted over 2,000 Agunos to remarry, and never did the first husband reappear. You are telling me such a thing could have happened to that Tzaddik? It is impossible. It cannot be." The people in the room were shocked that Rav Moshe, who is, quote, famous for his mild manner and compassion, could have spoken to such a way to a woman in such distress. But their shock gave way to incredulity when the woman broke down in tears and admitted her story was indeed false. She had been sure and assumed her husband was dead. She told herself he couldn't have possibly survived. When she heard a highly respected rabbi had passed away, she made up a story concerning the document using the rabbi's name. So there are times, of course, well, we must be very, very gentle. Smol docha v'yamin mekarabas. But there are other times when we need to be very harsh. Now, of course, the Gedolim have the foresight, Das Torah, and Siyata Deshmaya. But every person has to know. I don't mean to go around Chas V'Shalom abusing people in your home. You have to know when to stand up for Torah Mitzvahs. You have to know when to be harsh in your position. You have to know when it comes to Chinuch HaBanim, and I don't mean in an abusive way, God forbid. I shouldn't even say that because someone might assume Chas V'Shalom. But a person has to know when to balance out the midos based on Victor Miller, based on this Mishnah. But Hashem doesn't say you should be, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema doesn't say you should be a sheep. You should be a lion. A lion can be a very vicious animal. A lion can tear apart prey. You should be a nesher, a olf doreif, a clawing bird. I now quote from Rav Arnim Steinman, another gadol who held up the world by his very presence in our world. The director of a cheder in Beit Shemesh approached Rav Aaron Leib with a question. A parent in the school had remarried and wanted to enroll his new wife's children in the same school his own children attended. The cheder, believing these children did not meet the school's criteria, and under enormous pressure from other parents not to accept this woman's children, rejected the new applicants. When the stepfather refused to back down from his insistence that the children be accepted, the principal approached Rav Aaron Leib for dealing with the situation. The administration characterized the family as stubborn and unreasonable, who refused to accept the school's decision. Rav Aaron Leib was incredulous. "It is gaiva to insist, if you didn't read this biography, also add it to your list. It is gaiva to insist that you are better than another person, to reject a child based on such haughtiness. But the father's being crazy, said the principal. We all think so. He's using all means to push the wife's children into our school. Other parents in the school also want the best chinuch for their children, said Rav Aaron Leib. Why isn't the principal calling them crazy? The parents pushing the school not to accept these children are full of gaiva. And then he said, gaiva, gaiva, gaiva. I don't know if you remember, but after his patira, one of these videos circulated, of Rav Aaron Leib, they came to ask the shayin, you can see him and hear him saying, gaiva, gaiva, gaiva. Oh, 1 second. Hi. How are you? Nice to see you. Just saved some salmon for tomorrow. It's my son. Remember, he came in and made an appearance. Hi, Aryeh.
Hello.
Oh, 1 second. 1 second. He's going to leave before I finish here.
1 second. This is for you. I got you a present. I'm just in the middle of shiur.
Sorry, I'm not used to him being here on Thursday nights. Just recently, since you saw him the past few weeks, him and his friend started a chabura Thursday night shiur with one of his rabbeim. But I forget that he comes because he lives in Springfield, New Jersey, and he usually just walks in the middle of shiur. So I see him, I go, oh, hi. Remember when he walked in and I was talking about Krashnik? Okay, let's go. Rav Shimon wasn't through. With the criteria that some schools are setting up today, even Avram Avinu couldn't be accepted to a good school, said Rav Aaron Leib. After all, he was a son of Terach, an idol merchant. Rivki Menu, she definitely would have gotten trouble being accepted as well. Besua for a father, Lavan for a brother. Let's not forget Besua had poison to kill Eliezer. They probably didn't have to send Lavan to the drugstore to pick up a dose. Who knows how many people he killed with the poison. She would never have gone into school. And our imahos, Rachel and Leah, daughters of Lavan the swindler, wouldn't get accepted either. In fact, our patriarchs, our matriarchs, wouldn't be able to get into our schools today. He then contrasted the situation to how things, never mind what it says for the shidduch system. He contrasted the situation to how things were done in Europe. In Brisk, when I was growing up, there was one central cheder for those who wanted authentic Jewish education. Everyone learned there, he said, from the children of the Brisker Rav to the children of the simple craftsmen, laborers, and even communists. We all learned Torah together. On the other hand, the same of Aaron Leib Steinman, who could be as can amer when necessary, in the most important, complimentary, necessary way, the same of Moshe, who could say it's absolutely not true and make the woman repeat her story 3 times. On the other hand, there's a different side to our gedolim, which is a softness, a sensitivity, a loving embrace of every other Jew, whether, I don't mean physically, proverbially. It is a well-known skula. If one folds his talus after Shabbos, he'll experience shalom bayis. Rav Aaron Leib said he knew a better skula. For a husband to fold up his sleeves on Motzei Shabbos and help his wife wash the dishes to alleviate post-Shabbos cleanup. It says in the Rav David Feinstein biography that someone came to me, learned in a certain kollel, and the director of the kollel said that everyone who learned in this kollel has to go to the mikveh before Shachris, and this man came to Rav David and he said he heard that it's a skula to go to the mikveh to remember your Torah learning. So David said, I know a better skula for remembering your Torah learning. It's called Chazara. So someone came to Rav Aaron Leib and he said, it's a skula to fold your talus for shalom bayis. Rav Aaron Leib said, I know a better skula. Wash the dishes and help your wife. He frequently repeated the following story when speaking to Chassanim about shalom bayis. A certain person came to Rav Aaron Leib to discuss extensive shalom bayis problems. In order to have a successful marriage, said Rav Aaron Leib, you must do 3 things. Be mevater, be mevater, be mevater. The man looked at Rav Aaron Leib dumbfounded and he said, that's what I tell my wife all the time and she's still not listening to me. When Rav Aaron Leib told this story, he commented, each person has to internalize that he or she must be the one to be mevater and improve his or her own midos. And that's really what Rehuben and Teme is telling us. You have to internalize and cultivate your own midos and then use them to be a doer. But I have to work on my own midos inside. And then it's la'atso ritzon avicha shebashamayim. So I have to work on the midos la'atso. I have to put into practice. Ratz kitzvi, be the kosher animal, be the kosher yed. Run to do your will of Father in heaven. Elaborating on this thought, Rav Aaron Leib would add another key to successful marriage is one should not try to educate one's spouse. Must friction is caused when one sets their personal goals on their spouse's shortcomings and bad midos. One must work on rectifying their own character traits. couple more, and then we're going to go to Rav Yisrael Meir Lau. An older person with a flowing white beard came to Rav Aaron Leib for a bracha. Please bless me, Asher Avshalom Bayis. I'm always fighting with my wife, the man said. How long have you been married? Said Rav Aaron Leib. 50 years, said the man. Rav Aaron Leib was appalled. You are married for 50 years and you still haven't learned the most important thing in a marriage is to work on your midos and break your bad habits. And finally, an avreich had a shayla for Rav Aaron Leib. Should he and his wife buy an air conditioner for their apartment? My wife works at home during the day, it gets hot in the house. However, we have a tough time making ends meet. I'm afraid on our tight budgets, we won't be able to afford the utility bill. You live in a kolo, said Rav Aaron Leib. Do they have an air conditioner? Yes, said the man. If so, you need to get an air conditioner for the house. The wife should not be working in a warm house in the summer while you are learning in an air-conditioned kolo. He gave the avreich a bracha for much success, and he said, Hashem will find you a way to cover the funds to pay the bill. In our lives, small docha v'yamin mikaravas, for the most part, we need to learn how to be soft, especially in our interactions with other people. But when it comes to standing up for avodas Hashem, we need to be very firm. We can't be embarrassed. We have to have a certain sense of azus meitzach in our service of God. And now we go to the commentary of Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita on this Mishnah. Yudah ben Tema Omer, Perakei Mishnah Chav Gimel. Heve az kanamer, be strong-willed as a leopard, vekal kanesher, and swift as a nesher, which I am hesitant to translate. It makes an appearance in next week's parasha, Parashas Yisrael, v'v'yeschem el'ay al'kan v'nesharim, v'rat kitzvi, and run like a deer, v'gibar ka'ari, and strong like a lion, so ritzon v'icha shabashavayim. So we quoted this 3 weeks ago, but I'm going to quote it again. In the Megala Amukos, it is brought down that the name of Rabbi Yehuda's father, Tema, okay, Tav Yud Mem Aleph, constitutes an acronym of 4 central concepts of Avodas Hashem, Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava. Yehuda ben Tema. Yehuda himself is compared to a lion, by the way. His name was Yehuda, so he has the courage of a lion. Ben Tema could also mean the son of one who possessed these 4 attributes. It doesn't necessarily mean only the son of Tema. It also means he's a person who is the son of Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava. Yes, Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava. These parallel the 4 animals and the traits that are the subject of this Mishnah. In terms of Torah, be strong-willed as a leopard. Az Kenamer corresponds to Torah. Because, the sages state, Israel was given the Torah since they are strong-willed. So each of these attributes, Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava, correspond to one of the animals. Again, Tema is an acronym, Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava. And there are 4 animals delineated in this Mishnah, Namar, Nesher, Tzvi, and Ari. Each one of these aspects, Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava, correspond to one of the 4 animals. This is brought down in the Sefer Megala Mukos. So these 4 foundations of Avodas Hashem correspond to the 4 animals. Be strong-willed as a leopard, have a az kenamer, corresponds to the aspect of Torah, because the stage of state, the Torah was given to Israel since they are strong-willed. They are firm, unyielding, and stubborn. Az kenamer. Why is a strong will associated with a leopard? Rav Lau writes, the leopard remains to crouch watchfully over its prey. It is not frightened away. It doesn't make do with scraps, but it stands firm. So the Gemara says in Masachas Beita, the Torah is given to Israel because they are strong-willed. Comments Rav Lau, we are firm, unyielding, and stubborn. And it's very, very interesting, but this is one of the defenses that Moshe Rabbeinu, I went to Rabbi Lau and I'm already taking a break from him just for a short time. This is one of the defenses that Moshe Rabbeinu gave on behalf of Klal Yisrael after they sinned by Chet Ha'egel. What happened by Chet? So what are we talking about? The Midah of Az Kenamer. Now, Az, Azus Meitzach L'Gehenem, Azus Meitzach could also be indolent, could also be chutzpah, could also be going with your forehead up high. So again, it's a balance. It's knowing it's when to be firm and balancing it out with how and when to be soft. It's knowing when to say, my name is Ramosha Feinstein and I have never been wrong on that. Rav has never been wrong and you are lying. It's the same Rav Moshe who gave a caring heart and a caring hand to any yid who was in need. So like what Victor Miller says, Moshe doesn't bless the people. You should be like a little sheep. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants courage in our Avodas Hashem. It's a small example. It's a very small example. Small. But yesterday, my son and I, the one who's here, yesterday, my son and I had to be in Manhattan. I mentioned it in last night's share. We had to spend the afternoon in the hospital with a chola. So I was running after my morning shiur, and I had to catch a train. And I knew I was not going to have time to pack up lunches. I knew it was a long day. I knew we wouldn't be able to get food. There's no Biker Cholim room there. So I asked my son, before you drive to the city, he was going from Springfield, I was going from Woodmere, before you go from the city, can you please go into the bagel store and just get us something to eat for lunch, please? So he got us something to eat for lunch. And so when we were there, he got himself his. He has bagel and cream cheese. My bagel had tuna. So, and then he brought us a muffin to share, a big, beautiful, gorgeous blueberry muffin, which I don't usually eat, but desperate times, I told him, call for desperate measures. He says, Ma, a bagel and a muffin? It was whole wheat. I said, desperate times, call for desperate measures. Anyway, so the Maisa, after we had our bagels, I said, let's share the muffin. So he cuts it in half. Did a pretty good even split. There were two chairs in the room of the challah. We're sitting there. It wasn't insensitive. We were not being insensitive. Okay, in case you thought that. We're not having a feast there. We're eating. And unfortunately, the challah is not aware at all that we are there. So anyway, so we're eating the muffin and he breaks it. It's so soft and it's nice. It's real chowdy. Then I take one bite. And I said, is this dairy? It was so good. So he said, yeah, I think it's dairy. I said, is the bagel store Chalav Yisrael? So he said, no. I said, could you please call them and ask if the muffins are dairy? She said, yes. She calls up and he says, are the muffins dairy? They say, yes. I guess a worker answered. He said, are they Chalav Yisrael? The worker did not know what he was talking about. So he's like, forget it. So he says, it's the muffins are dairy. It was very good. I already had one bite. If you don't taste it, so you don't taste it. Furthermore, when I took Chalav Yisrael upon myself, if you remember, Rabbi Shai Shechter told me to do it. Why did I tell you? I've told this to you before. Bli Neder. In case you're ever in a situation when you can't access, then take it upon yourself, Bli Neder. So I already had a bite. The taste was in my mouth. It was very good. I wanted more. It wasn't all kosher. Chas v'shalom. It's perfectly kosher muffin. And I took Chalav Yisrael upon myself, Bli Neder. I think it's a small example. But you have to cultivate the midah of gibor and azus inside of yourself. La'asot. Then you have to ratz kitzvi. It's a perfect, I think, a perfect practical example of what we're learning from the Mishnah. So the end of the story is I did not eat it anymore. I said to my son, you just won yourself another half a muffin. And I had the one bite. Obviously, well, after I tasted it, I realized I think that this is dairy. And I gave him the rest. But it's a small example, because first of all, the muffin is 100% kosher, okay? But I think it's an appropriate example of cultivating the midah azus. You need to be stubborn. As Rabbi Shlomo Meir said, firm, unyielding, and stubborn. You need to be a gibor ka'ari, ezu gibor kovish is yitzro, perkei avos, perkei dalav, mishta olav, because it was a really good muffin, and it was a treat, and I never have it. And it's like we go downstairs and buy more food. And then ratz kitzvi. You have to put the midos into action to be the kosher tzvi. La aso to do ritzon avicha shebashamayim. It's beautiful. It's an exact illustration in a small level because I wasn't going to be over anything because it was a kosher muffin. So now take that to apply to watching a non-kosher movie. I mean, like, really not kosher. I'm not talking about neutral. I'm talking about when everyone understands that a Torah should not be looking at the things that they're doing on the screen. Reading a novel, that's not appropriate. Listening to Lashon Hara. My example wasn't about anything. I wasn't going to be over anything. Because even my Kabbalah to do Chalav Yisrael was Bli Neder. I wasn't even going to be over. But now multiply how much courage you need when something's really usher. Because that's when the Yetzer Hara is very strong. That's why you need to be strong. You can't be a sheep when the Yetzer is very strong. The Yetzer is going to slay the sheep. You need to be a lion. You need to be an oaf d'oreis, a clawing bird. You need to claw the Yetzer, not vice versa, or he will claw you. Rav Moshe says this is impossible. Tell your story 3 times. I knew that, Rav. This story is not true. said of Aaron Leibsteinman, Gaiva, 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 the father's crazy. We're talking about Gedolei Olam, who spoke with every word was measured, the most sensitivity. I don't even come up to their ankles, literally. I don't even know what I come up to, nothing. But they knew when you have to be soft and when you have to be firm. The reason I gave you an example of the muffin is not to tell you a cute story, because it's really a practical example of what the Mishnah is telling you. You need to be a gibor. It was hot. I really wanted the muffin. I'll tell you, it was really good. By the way, if you're wondering, I didn't have the muffin. I didn't end up having the chocolate. I had a piece of my son's cookie last night with a big bowl of fruit. You need to cultivate the midos inside of yourself. Like a lion, like a swift, like a nesher, like a leopard. And then you need to run with it and be kosher like the tzvi. La asot. Chana Wasserman pointed out, it's on a Vicha Shabashamai. And in fact, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu, when the people sinned by Chayt HaEgal, Moshe wants to defend the people, because Hashem wants to destroy them. So what compliments could Moshe give the people? You know, Hashem, they steig in yeshiva, and they're going to learn this Torah you just gave them, and they're going to always talk so nicely, and they're never going to do anything wrong, and they're going to just 100% sneeze and never wear a shana, so you should give them a Torah. They're going to be so good. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Perek Lamedalad Pasuk Tes in Kitisa. Vayomer im namatzasi chen beinecha Hashem yedech na Hashem bekerbeinu. And if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, Hashem should go in our midst. Ki am kshe orefu. That's a compliment. They're stiff neck. They're stubborn people. Kshe stiff oref neck. How's it translated? Stiff neck people. But kshe is more than stiff. Kasheh, they're harsh. They're hard. That's a compliment. That's going to make God save the people. And therefore, v'salachta la'avoninu, so you should forgive our sins, u'dechat osenu, and our iniquity, u'nichaltanu. Secure is your inheritance. What is he talking about? That's not a compliment. Isn't he insulting the people? What's his defense to God? That these are stiff-necked, stubborn people, like Rabbi Lau says. They are firm, unyielding, and stubborn, like a leopard. So Rabbi Joseph Yisalvechik, the Rav, says as follows, Ki am kshei orefu, they are stiff-necked people. When Yonah told the population of Nineveh that God was about to destroy the city, the entire population reacted to the words of Yonah as if by electric shock. The people all engaged immediately in collective mourning and repentance. In contrast, Israel was sent no less than 48 prophets who repeatedly exhorted them to repent, but to no avail. It is important to, so who seems better? The people of Nineveh, who don't know when to tell them to do teshuvah, ad arbeim yam, v'Nineveh nehapachas, and they all do teshuvah, and the king does teshuvah, and they put on their sackcloth, gevaldik. And Hashem sends 48 Nevi'im to Am Yisrael, and none of them repent, and they don't repent. The Churban Bayis Rishon came, the Churban Bayis Sheni came, and here we're still in Galus. So that's the pshat. It seems like the people of Nineveh are better. It's important to note, however, says the Rav, that a short time after Nineveh's repentance, the Assyrians sinned once again by mercilessly attacking Israel. Evidently, the people were easily influenced to do good or to do bad. They did not stick with their conviction, depending on the circumstances of the time. People were easily influenced. So when Yonah came, they were easily influenced to do good. And when the king of Assyria came and said, let's attack Israel, they were easily influenced to do the bad. Depending on the circumstances, the people, the peer pressure, the society of the time, they were wishy-washy. What was Moshe saying to Hashem? The nation of Israel does not act in this fashion. When Moshe entreated God to forgive the nation in the wake of the sin of the Egel HaZahav, which was a few weeks after Matan Torah, Moshe argued they should be forgiven. Why? V'salachta la'avoneinu u'lechataseinu u'nechaltanu. Why should you forgive us? Quote, Ki am kshei oref ata. Not ata. Ki am kshei oref hu. They are kasheh. They are harsh. Oref, the back of the neck. A seemingly strange argument in Moshe's defense, in Israel's defense. Moshe argued that for a stubborn people, teshuva may come slowly. Once they decide to act, however, once the teshuva comes, Israel maintains its commitment. So the Oz Kanamer, to be a stiff-necked people, it is a compliment. Because what Moshe is saying is, Hashem, once they cling to you, once they do teshuva, they will never leave you. They won't be wishy-washy. They won't replace you for other gods. When Klal Yisrael decides to stick to a program of change and improvement, they will stick to that change and improvement. When a person takes upon themselves Klal Yisrael, they will stick to it and they will take it. And I know it's a small example. I know the muffin was 100%, 1,000% kosher. I'm using it as an example. When we take something upon ourselves, we're going to stick to it. And that's the defense. And that's the midah of Oz Kinamer. And therefore, going back to Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, remember, the acronym of Tema, Torah, Yirah, Mitzvah, Ahava, four animals in the Mishnah. The Megala Amuko says that each one of these animals corresponds to one aspect of Avodas Hashem. So Torah corresponds to Oz Kinamer. Be strong-willed as a leopard corresponds to the Tav of Tema, Torah. Because the stage of state, the Torah was given to Israel since they are strong-willed, which is exactly what Moshe said to Hashem. It was the aftermath of Matan Torah. And we want the second Luchos. And please don't abandon us and exchange us for another nation, God. Why, you sin? Yes, but we're Am Kshei Orav. We are strong-willed. We're like a leopard. Quote, Rabbi Lau says, we are firm, unyielding and stubborn, and we know how to channel it. Rav Moshe knew how to channel that stubbornness, that unyieldingness for the proper Piskei Halacha. A strong will is associated with a leopard because the leopard remains to crouch watchfully over its prey. It's strong-willed. It is not frightened away. It does not make do with scraps, but it stands firm. So Torah, the Tav of Tema, corresponds to Oz Kinamer. Next, fleet as an eagle. Kal Kinesher. Kal Kinesher corresponds to Ahava. Love of God. Tema, Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, Ahava. Fleet as an eagle, Kal Kinesher, corresponds to Ahava, love of God. The eagle flies higher than the other birds. Its love for its fledglings is so great, it does not carry the babies in its talons, where they would be vulnerable from other birds or from the arrows of a human being. Rather, it carries the babies upon its back. Better that the arrow should pierce me, the Kinesher says, than it should pierce my children. So too did God raise us up when we left Egypt. And Rav Lau quotes next week's parsha. The Avieschem alai v'asa eschem al kanfei nesharim. Parshas Yisro, Perek Yates. I lifted you up on the wings of eagles when the Egyptians shot arrows and cannonballs at the Jews, the cloud absorbed them. Rashi tells us the same thing, by the way, in this week's parsha, in Beshalach, when we're camped by the Yam Suf. The pasuk Rashi tells us in the end of Perek Yud Gimel, beginning of Perek Yud Dalet, that the Anan would go between the camp of the Israelites and the camp of the Mitzrim and absorb the cannonballs and the arrows that the Mitzrim were shooting against us. And Moshe too teaches God cared for the Jews as an eagle spreads its wings and takes its fledglings. Rashi explains Hashem led the Jews with compassion and love, like an eagle. So Oz Kinamer corresponds to Torah. Kal Kinesher corresponds to Ahava. 1 second. We're finishing up, but 1 second.
I'm finishing less than 5 minutes.
Thank you. Ahava corresponds to Kal Kinesher. We must feel Hashem's, it's very important to feel Hashem's love. Sometimes it's harder to see Hashem's love, but we almost ahavas olam, ahava rabba. We must always feel Hashem's love, and it's incumbent upon us to have ahavas Hashem. Hashem is ahavas Yisrael. We have to have ahavas Hashem. That corresponds to Kal Kinesher, because the Nesher shows us the great love that the parent bird has for the baby bird. That's how Hashem cares for us and loves us. What about Ratz Kitzvi? Swift as a deer corresponds to mitzvos. Torah, Yirah, Mitzvah, Ahava. Torah corresponds to Oz Kinamer. Ahava corresponds to Kal Kinesher. Now we come up to Mitzvah. Listen to this. Chana Wasserman, listen to this. Are you still here? Swift as a deer corresponds to, quote, performing the mitzvahs. Swift as a deer, Ratz Kitzvi, which is exactly what you pointed out last time in an email to me. Ratz Kitzvi, which we said is the kosher animal, and the only one that's an action, corresponds to, quote, performing mitzvos. It doesn't say corresponds to the mitzvos, performance of the mitzvah. So that's a backing for our pshat here. Swift is a deer. Ratz Kitzvi corresponds to perform. La'aso. You got to do the mitzvah. La'aso ritzon of Yichash v'ashamayim. A person should always run after a mitzvah, says the Gemara Maseches Brachos. As the mitzvah states, they go after Hashem. Like the swift deer, the Jews run and do not grow tired. They proceed without tiring, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says. The Jew runs to perform an easy mitzvah as a weighty one. That's from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the beginning of Perek Dalet. The Jew runs from easy mitzvah. Rats the mitzvah kala kavacha mura she'ena tayodei matan scharin shal mitzvos. So rats kisvi corresponds to la'asot the mitzvos, and finally Torah yira mitzvah ahava. The last thing we have left is yira, fear of God, and this corresponds to mighty as a lion, gibor ka'ari. Just like the lion is the king of the jungle and casts fear into all the other animals. If you've ever seen by the watering hole, when the lion lumbers over to the watering hole, every other animal knows its place. Like Yaakov Avinu said, which really brings this whole Shir series full circle, because Rabbi Victor Miller quoted this in the piece that we studied. He quotes from Birkas Yaakov, Yehuda crouches like a lion, Gur Arya Yehuda. He lies down like a lion, and like an awesome lion, who dares to rouse him? And the words of Amos, which is a pasuk that's quoted very often by the Yamim Noraim and Elo, Aryeh Sha'ag mi lo yira, when a lion roars, who will not be afraid? So the Megala Amukos teaches that Tema is an acronym for Torah, Yira, Mitzvah, and Ahava. Each corresponds to a different animal. Torah, you need to be Oz Kanamer to keep the Torah. Ahava Hashem kal kanesha. The nesha represents the love of God for his people. We must reciprocate and show ahava Hashem. Ratz kitzvi corresponds to mitzvah, but not just mitzvah, performance of mitzvah. And finally, yira corresponds to the aryeh, because it is the aryeh who instills fear in the animals of the jungle. And we must have yiras Hashem in our avodas Hashem. That's the Hebrew letters for the word lion, aryeh. When rearranged, SD, I'm getting there, I'm in the middle of the sentence. That's the Hebrew letters for Aryeh. When rearranged, spell Yira, fear. And they have the same numeric value as the word Gevura, might. Aryeh in Gematria, I did it, you can see all my notes and my highlighter and my sticky. I did the Gematria here to be sure. Aryeh in Gematria, Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey is 1, 210 and 5 is 216. And Gevura in Gematria is 3, 2, 6, 205 is 260. So the Gibor Ka'ari, which represents Yiras Hashem, Aryeh in Gematria equals Gevura, they both equal 216. And Aryeh rearranged spells Yira. We must cultivate the proper midos within ourselves. We have to know when to balance out being courageous and strong with being timid and quiet. But it's not enough to cultivate the midos. You have to put them into practice and always be kosher like the tzvi. So the neshamas are three very, very special women. Aviva Hach's paternal grandmother, Chana Bas Mordechai, Allah HaShalom. Devorah Mayblum's sister, Leah Bas Rechover Shalom, Allah HaShalom. And Henny Wolf's aunt, Sarah Bas Eliyahu Moshe, Allah HaShalom. All the neshama should have Zechiro Latova, Aliyah Latova, and the merit of these Devorah Torah. It's nice to be back. I missed you last week. I wish you a gevaldik and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. And Be'ezras Hashem, thank you to all of our sponsors. You really keep this year going. Tizkul Mitzvos, Ula Ma'isim Tovim. If anyone's interested in sponsoring week, please reach out to me. Have a gevaldik Shabbos. Be'ezras Hashem, we continue next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Tizkul Mitzvos. Shabbat Shalom.